Tomorrow night, the University of Arkansas Center for Spatial Technologies, or CAST, will receive national attention. The three-part PBS series, Time Scanners, will be shown across the country in July, including Tuesday nights on the Arkansas Educational Television Network. The series centers on a half dozen researchers with CAST and their work scanning some of the most famous places in the world. Atlantic Productions, the producers of the series, sent the U of A researchers to locations like the Great Pyramids, St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and the ancient city of Petra. Last week, two of the researchers, Adam Barnes and Malcolm Williamson, came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about their experiences with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums. Adam Barnes told Kyle it all started with a simple phone call from Atlantic Productions to the U of A campus.
Yes, I was sitting in my office and about to go into a meeting with a few other people there at CAST, and my cell phone rang. Didn't recognize the number, of course. I answer the phone, and it's a lady named Laura Acaster from Atlantic Productions in London. And she asked if we were interested in possibly doing some laser scanning for a television documentary that they were planning to do. They had been talking to some private firms in Europe that do laser scanning, and they, I guess, were still searching. They have some researchers who are constantly looking for, you know, some way to improve the show or add on to the show. And they found the CAST website. I assume they went to the staff web pages, and my name starts with a B. I'm at the top of the list. Perhaps that's how they called my cell phone. I'm not sure. But I told her, yes, we would be interested in talking. And we did have a few meetings throughout the next few days. Things moved very quickly from there. And we made a budget. We made a plan for who was going to go. And the first few trips fell through, but after that, we went really fast.
In this initial conversation, was it brought up that it would be the pyramids?
Some of the locations were mentioned, and they were all very interesting locations, to say the least. But we do a lot of travel on our normal type of projects to interesting locations, not always the most well-known locations like this show. Most of the time it's more secluded, but still very interesting to us to go and laser scan and survey a site that we typically go to. But yeah, this time it was big name, very well-known sites that, you know, we never thought we would actually get to go work on. So.
When you do this laser survey, what's the equipment you have and what does it look like and how do you set up?
We typically travel with 8 to 10 cases on a trip like this. So two or three laser scanners, tripods for the laser scanners. A lot of times we have targets that we would set up between scans to help tie things together. And then various other equipment, just chargers, batteries, miscellaneous things.
Computers, yes.
I have this image of what it must look like when you're doing the laser scanning and you're looking at a computer screen. What does it look like?
We're mostly just setting these scanners up, and our newer ones have built-in control panels, and so you can actually just program and set them and operate them from the instrument itself. So you set it up, get it running, and then you go off and do something else for anywhere from a few minutes up to, with our older scanner, up to an hour or even more. So it's a lot of hurry up, set up, and then wait for a while.
So when you're at the pyramids, I mean, this is – when you think of structures, iconic structures, I mean, for many, the pyramids is number one.
I think I would have to agree there. At first, I was trying to be a little nonchalant about being there. This is just another site to be scanning. But when we were doing the Great Pyramid at Giza, I eventually kind of looked up and said, oh – how many people get to be here doing this especially? You know, probably one or two. And this is definitely pretty cool, and it's an amazing structure. And that was actually the fourth pyramid that we had scanned in 4 days. And we were looking basically at the evolution of pyramid building. And when you see the Great Pyramid compared to these earlier ones, and you look at how well it was thought out and built, you realize it's an amazing engineering feat.
And that's brought home even more so with what the laser scanning will tell you?
Yeah, I think we probably have, you know, one of the best 3D models of the Great Pyramid in the world.
How do you not over-romanticize what you're doing? I mean, you're looking at this structure that was built thousands of years ago and is, you know, considered one of the most iconic on the planet.
Machu Picchu for me was the equivalent of the Great Pyramid for Malcolm, I think, and in that when you're working on the site and you take a second to just pause and look around, you know, you realize how amazing it is that you're spending 3 or 4 days on this site and being paid to do it. Most of the time when we're working, we're constantly thinking about where to put the scanner, how the scans are going to fit together during processing. So you can't float away mentally too much. You have to stay engaged in thinking about what you're going to do next, especially in this situation where we had very little time, no second chances, a lot of pressure to get a lot of data.
Right. So, in an ideal situation, if you were doing the Great Pyramid at Giza, you'd have a couple of weeks.
Definitely.
And you had a couple of days?
Yep. In fact, really, we had one day, and then we were lucky it was our last location, and we were actually staying basically across the street from the pyramid, and so we were able to talk them into letting us have a few more hours access that day. But it was very, very intensive, kind of extreme scanning.
When you're at the pyramids, or when you're at the cathedral, or when you're at Petra, is the public there? Is it open, or are you there by yourselves?
It is. There are times when we got in early and got to leave late, later than the tourist. But we worked around them, and we talked to them. You know, they're always interested when they walk by and see what's happening, and so we explain and. Eventually we had badges that said National Geographic, and we would just hang those on the scanner, and so people would, National Geographic. And we worked around them. We were friendly with them, and they were friendly with us. So, yeah.
We say, please don't walk in front of the scanner there.
that would create a problem for the process.
We end up editing quite a few mm-hmm. people out of our mm-hmm. scans.
And the point of this is to create what is called a point cloud. What is a point cloud?
Point cloud is a 3D collection of millions and millions, sometimes billions, of points in a XYZ space. And when you see these all viewed together in software that can display a 3D view, it looks like the surface of the object that you're scanning, the building that you're scanning.
Billions. Points.
Billions. So these instruments, our fastest one does up to 500,000 points per second.
Wow. So then you construct it? I mean, you come back, you have all this information, and do you have to work to put it together?
You do. So you have, in some cases, 50 individual scans, and they all have overlap. So that's one of the things you're thinking about while scanning, is that you have enough overlap to tie these together later. So you bring them into software, you choose three common points between two overlapping scans, and that is enough to get it closely aligned. And then the software does a best fit, so it goes through and really locks those two scans together in a very accurate way. And we just do that repeatedly through all of our scans until we have one large point cloud that normally we would edit anything out that we don't need, and then we would reduce the number of points to get it to a manageable size so that the computer doesn't completely lock up or choke on the data.
We're talking Egypt, we're talking London, we're talking Petra. This is a global event, which means I would have think that the people looking to put this show together could have gone anywhere in the world, and they called CAST. That's a high compliment, right? The highest.
We think so.
We think so, yes. We are a member of a pretty small community as far as organizations that specialize in not only laser scanning but other research that allows us to think from a lot of different perspectives. So when the producers of the show are trying to come up with questions, interesting questions about the site that can be answered with the technology, they're not just talking to someone who knows how to run the laser scanner. They're talking to someone who knows how to process the data and has thought about interesting research questions that can be answered with data like this. And so,
and I think the other part is that we're also familiar with the alternatives. And so, is laser scanning the best way? Is it the most appropriate technology for this particular task? Are there other things that we should be looking at instead? In a couple of the shows, we use ground penetrating radar.
Right.
And we're able to then fuse that data along with the laser scanning data to really, I think, uncover some pretty interesting things. But Yeah, as a group, I think CAST is fairly unique in the range of experience and backgrounds that our members come from. And so we, I think we bring a lot of useful perspectives on a show like this.
Does doing this laser scanning at some place like St. Paul's Cathedral or the Pyramids, does it help you the next time you do another project? I mean, is there experience gained here that will stay with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's always a unique situation that we haven't encountered before. As far as in St. Paul's, for example, there are a lot of interior spaces, interstitial spaces between the skin, the outer skin of the dome and the inner skin of the dome. And they're filled with, rafters and things that are holding everything together. And so we had to work around that. And it was very difficult to work through some narrow passageways and very compact areas. And so that was new. That was relatively new to us. And we weren't sure that things were going to really work. In the end, they did. And it looked really, really nice. So
I don't want to give anything away from the three shows that will be on PBS and ETN. But did you find out anything that maybe was previously unknown?
I think so. I think definitely at St. Paul's, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And I think we uncovered some interesting things in Egypt. And I think in Petra we may have found some pretty good insights there as to how some of the structures were actually created there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in each episode we had what was called Tech HQ, where we brought together the scan data, the engineer, Steve Burrows, and whatever specialists that they had from each site. And we looked at the data, we talked about the questions, and we revealed any findings that we had. And so there were a few aha moments that would raise eyebrows and be of interest to the public, I believe.
You know, what's interesting is what we haven't even talked about yet is that you're going to be on television. I mean, that seems like, compared to what you were able to do, but there were cameras following you. I mean, did that ever make you self-conscious?
I don't know about self-conscious. At the beginning, I think it did, although I have to say that the host, Dallas Campbell, did a terrific job at making us feel at ease from moment one. As soon as we got mic'd up on the first day, and he started joking around and talking with us and just made us relax. And then we went on. Really, I think the bigger issue with the cameras and the sound was that they would want us to stop and do things again so they could get another take. And we'd say, please, you're kidding, right?
Do you think you'll be doing another one? Do you think, CAST, or has there been any conversation?
We may be doing some other work with the company. We've been in discussions about a couple other projects. The last I heard was that this particular series doesn't stand a high probability of having a second season unless they can constrain the travel for the show. Perhaps if it was all done within one country or all one region, it would be easier to do. But I think the travel for us, as much as anyone else, was very expensive and really added to the cost of the show.
Any idea what this can mean for CAST? I mean, obviously, you've already got this amazing reputation. You're in that small fraternity, but people are going to see this.
Yeah, they are. I would think that it will hopefully do nothing but raise the reputation or raise the awareness of what CAST does and maybe help to explain what we do, because that's something I have people ask me all of the time. And so, yeah, in that case, I think it'll just make us more recognizable. Whenever they see CAST, they'll know what we do.
I think they do a terrific job, actually, of explaining what it is that we do with the laser scanning. And in each of the shows, they give a very quick little explanation of, what is a point cloud. And I think it's probably one of the best explanations that I've heard. And so I think that will be, it'll be helpful for the general public understanding some of the work that we do.
Malcolm Williamson is a research associate with the University of Arkansas Center for Spatial Technologies. We also heard from Adam Barnes, a research assistant with CAST. They are just two of the six researchers who participated and worked to be shown nationally on the PBS program Time Scanners. The series premieres on AETN tomorrow night at 7. A local screening will also take place tomorrow on the U of A campus and will be followed with a question and answer session with some of the researchers. That event, open to the public and free of charge, will begin tomorrow evening at 6:30 in the Ken and Linda Sue Skolmeyer Hall inside Volwalker Hall. This is Ozarks at Large.